I next met with Dr. Bert O'Neill, and to begin, we discussed the case of a young woman who received adjuvant chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer.
The first case situation was actually a case that one of the docs had was a 59-year-old woman who was status post-surgical removal of a T3N1 pancreatic cancer with 2 of 12 peripancreatic lymph nodes. And we asked about the question of adjuvant therapy. And what we saw in the audience is, interestingly, that the most common answer was gemcitabine, capecitabine. And in fact, that's pretty much what the faculty would utilize. Can you talk about sort of where we are today with adjuvant therapy and I guess the question of using this combination?
Absolutely. So I think the audience had correctly understood the SBAC 4 trial, which added capecitabine to standard gemcitabine and did show an improvement in overall survival for previously resected pancreatic cancer patients. And so I think that to me would be standard of care at this point for someone I thought could tolerate combination therapy, which unfortunately isn't everyone. And I think it is important, maybe especially for surgeons, but also medical oncologists, to understand that about half of patients never get to adjuvant therapy after, especially after a Whipple procedure. And I think that while adding capecitabine was a little bit of an advance for us in terms of trying to cure this, you know, very, very difficult disease, I do think it also illustrates that combination chemotherapies are going to be better than single agents. And since patients are going to have difficulty tolerating those, we probably need to start thinking about moving that treatment up front before surgery. And to me, that's really where we need to go in the next few years.
That's interesting. So neoadjuvant therapy, what do we know about neoadjuvant therapy in pancreatic right now?
You know, some institutions have been doing neoadjuvant therapy for a long time. I think probably the best examples of people who have done it and published have been MD Anderson, Duke, a few other centers. They've done that in spite of there not being extremely effective therapies. But, you know, recently we saw some relatively small data set with FOLFIRINOX just showing that it can be done. We've been doing a study of preoperative FOLFIRINOX in patients with resectable disease at Indiana University. We're probably about 40 patients into that study right now, just to show that it's feasible, patients can tolerate it and still make it to surgery. Because I think one of the historical concerns had been that systemic therapy was so ineffective that a lot of patients would become non-resectable during the neoadjuvant period. I think that's becoming less and less true. It's also a good selection tool. If you have a patient who can't get through a few months of treatment without having progression, they probably weren't going to do well after surgery anyway. And it's an awfully big surgery to go through just to have a recurrence a few months later.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, when I think about neoadjuvant therapy, obviously there's a ton of stuff out there about trying to convert people to resectability. But you're talking about people getting neoadjuvant therapy who appear to be resectable pre-op. That's fascinating.